Therapy, episode 69. No reviews, just analysis. I'm Andrea Shockling, and my co-host, as always, is the unimpeachable Aaron Myers. Up this week, our second annual introspective year in review, with special guest and official show mascot, writer Christopher Sabella. You know the drill, we never do reviews, especially not this week, but we do talk a lot, so there will be spoilers ahead.
Welcome to Comics Therapy. Neither Andrea nor I are licensed therapists, so don't take anything we say seriously. This week, we're looking back at 2014, not so much as an objective year in review, but more of a highly subjective discussion about what comics meant to us these past 12 months.
To be fair, Aaron and Chris have no idea what to expect. I've put together some prompts for both of them, but you know from past shows that our interviews tend to devolve into conversation rather than stick to a strict question and answer format. I expect that this will be much of the same. We're going to talk about our feelings and comics, and at least one of us will be heavily drinking. It's going to be great.
Okay. Well, in between shows, you can find me on Twitter at Aaron Myers and Andrea at Andrea Shock. The show account is at Comics Therapy. You know, you can even find Chris at Xtop. I guess there's no point prolonging the inevitable. Let's get started.
Awesome. So I'm going to throw out a general question for both of you to respond to. It's deliberately extra superlative. But
pizza.
What?
That's my answer.
Yes? Your answer is yes?
Pizza.
Pizza. Oh. Well, maybe if you didn't interrupt me, you could hear the full question and come up with a relative response.
Fine.
Okay. I'm interested in two perspectives from both of you. Aaron, I want to hear your thoughts as both a reader and a collector. And Chris, I want to hear your thoughts as, oh, Jesus Christ, the trash men are so fucking loud.
Good, I like it. I like the ambiance.
Andrea, so in retrospect, was it a good idea to do the podcast from your trash can? Or was that a bad idea?
Introspectively, I'm feeling like I made a poor choice.
Well,
okay, Chris, I want to hear, shut up, Aaron. I want to hear your thoughts as like a creator and as a reader yourself, okay? So fill in the blanks. Chris, you're going to start.
All right.
2014 was the best year for comics ever because why? And you have to be specific.
What if I disagree with that?
Well, I'm gonna turn it around in a couple of minutes so we can talk about why it wasn't.
Okay.
But first I want to talk about why it was.
I think because, I don't know, because lots of really great books came out.
Why was it your best year?
Oh, mine?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you just meant in general.
Well, I mean, make it be about yourself. It's right. Cool. You can be selfish.
That's all right. Well, yeah, it's no, it was, I mean, from my perspective, it was the best year for comics because it's my first year as a full-time writer. Like, as of January of last year, this is all I've been doing for a living. And, I don't know, I've had a buttload of books come out this year. I got other
ones. How many do you know?
I lost count. I want to say, like, around 24.
Okay.
24 issues. And then, I don't know, I've written more this year, I've written more in 2014 than probably I have in my whole life. I don't know, I've got a ton of stuff coming up the road, like, that I've been working on all of 2014, so, I don't know, it's just been everything has kind of gone the way I never, ever expected it would. Every year, I'm usually right there with people, like, because at the end of every year, everybody's like, you know, fuck this year. Like, let's move on to the next year. but, like, and I can sort of get on board with that most years, but this year, like, I totally could not. I was like, no, this year was awesome. Like, I understand from an external perspective outside myself in terms of, like, the world and more specifically this country, like, completely going to hell. It was a horrible year. But from inside my lovely apartment, like, it was the best. So that
we like conflict. That's fine. I accept that.
I mean,
Aaron, what about you?
Yeah.
Why was it the best year ever?
From which perspective would you like first?
Let's do it as a reader first.
So as a reader, it was the best year ever because there were more books this year than any other year that I was excited to read week after week, and to the point where it's hard to keep up. And the availability of choice and the availability of books to my eyes in various formats had never been better.
So saturation is a positive.
Yeah. I like things.
As a collector?
So as a collector and in terms of things, 2014 was the best year ever because I was able to fund buying all of those books week after week by reselling old books on the internet because of internet and movie hype.
Well, I'm going to ask you more specifically about that in a little bit, but I'm worried about your answer to the next question because everything you said sounds really good. Like, it doesn't sound like there's anything hidden in there that, like where Chris was heading, where it's not all roses. You sound like 2014 was just, like, solidly excellent.
Hey, I'd rather you didn't assume you knew me or what I was going to say with our next question. Just ask the questions, okay?
Fair enough. Fair enough. Do you want to know what my answer is?
All right. Go ahead.
Okay.
Well, actually, hang on. Chris, do you want to know?
I already said sure.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah, Chris is on my side here. I don't...
I'm on everybody's side.
Oh, I see.
So my answer is the people, like from cons to friends to honestly doing the show with you, Aaron Myers. Comics in 2014 was more about the people for me than anything else, because my enjoyment of what I was reading was like exponentially affected by other people this year through suggestions and conversations and debates and the like. So while I have really positive feelings about a lot of what I actually read story-wise, it was what happened afterwards or even leading up to it in as far as talking about those things with others that I will really like remember about like what was the best part about comics for me in 2014. Yay, people.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, it leads perfectly into being exactly the same answer for 2014, full reversal. 2014 was the worst year for comics ever because why? Aaron, you start.
I'm starting?
Yeah.
Do you want both perspectives?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So from the reader perspective, the pressure to the pressure going back to people to read, respond and be positive about so many books that maybe you don't have as much positivity in real life about or mm-hmm. care to keep up with is entrenched in the social aspect of the comics world, and that can be somewhat of a grind after a while. And I definitely felt that in 2014, the week after week of having to read 40 books and like 40 books and not miss any of like people that I interact with and creators that I feel that I'm friends with now. There's sort of this accountability now in the comics social space that if you're not reading something, why aren't you reading that? You know, you're missing out and there's something wrong with you. And from the collecting standpoint, the movie and TV aspect of collecting with variants and flipping books and this sort of race to collect everything for various reasons has really put a glut on the market, kind of reminiscent of the 90s, that makes it somewhat shaky and unstable and adds this whole other aspect to comics that has nothing to do with the stories or the enjoyment of storytelling.
Which you still enjoy.
The stories and storytelling?
Yeah.
Yes, that is what I primarily enjoy about comic books.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Chris, why did this year suck?
I think largely because we still have a long way to go as, I don't know, all this stuff, you know, that the, God, like, there's so many choices, but, you know, when Janelle, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, Asselin?
I believe so, yes.
When, you know, she published that article about, some DC cover and basically like the doors of comics, the worst of comics fandom came bursting through. And, you know, that was far from an isolated incident. Like it's still, you know, you still have pros attacking cosplayers because, you know, of some perceived, like, loss of revenue due to them. you know, horrible things are still alive and well in comics. Like, we haven't, you know, completely driven the bad guys out, and some of them are thriving. So, you know.
So do you think that it was, like, basically par for the course in 2014? It's just that maybe it was a little bit more visible?
No, honestly, like, I feel like on the opposite side, like, 2014 was a really good year for making people aware of this shit. Like, I think, you know, and it's not just the stuff that happened in comics, but, you know, with, like, Gamergate and shit like that, like,
people
becoming aware of the fact that, like, you know, there are two wholly separate experiences going on. You know, there is you being a dude on the internet, and then there is you being a woman on the internet, and those are, and not just on the internet, but, like, in fan culture and all that shit. Like, that, I think a lot of people finally became aware of that shit, and I think that's helpful, and I think, you know, we've definitely gotten a lot better about calling people out on garbage, on, you know, this, you know, this doesn't make sense to me, like, or, you know, this is offensive to me and this is why, and, like, actually having companies and creators take note of that and address it, and not do the typical, you know, conditional apology.
Is it getting ahead of where you're going, Andrea, to speak to that in my hopes for 2015 in that aspect?
Oh, we're going to get to that. Don't worry.
Okay.
Because I feel the same way. It's like we spent so much time. Aaron, you and I talk about the books much more than we talk about the industry or the fandom. And so off of the show, I ended up spending quite a bit of time mulling over and discussing, like, the shittier parts, which affects the way that I then feel about the books themselves. And if you heard last week's episode 68, when I kind of lost my shit about the online conversation specifically, I've just been thinking a lot about the message that it sends to, like, everyone, but especially the more marginalized groups who are just trying to fucking read comics because they're awesome.
Yeah.
But if you stumble into the wrong conversation, online or offline, it is so alienating, and it's just such a bummer, because that's not a representation of everyone, but it is it was very visible. The ugliness was very visible in 2014.
Yeah, but I think that's a good thing. Like, I think for too long, like, you know, only the, you know, everybody was playing cheerleader, and it's like, let's only talk about the good things. Like, I'm all for, like, no, let's focus on the bad things. Like, sure, it makes us all feel shitty, but, like, at least we're having a fucking conversation about it. Like, we're not pretending this stuff doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I worry that sometimes we end up talking about it more than we talk about how to move
solve
past it.
Right.
And I guess when I say move past it, I don't mean to dismiss it and just move forward. I mean to fucking address it.
But this is, you know, this is going to take a long fucking time. Like, you know, this is these are all firmly entrenched notions. So, you know, this is stage one. Stage one is where we all fucking talk about it. And then, you know, eventually, I mean, I think stage two just happens in the background. Like, there's no, I don't think it works as, like, okay, let's all, like, sit down and we're all going to agree to, like, work this out. Like, and that never works. That's, yeah.
I was trying to think if there was an example in another industry or another fandom where they had actually gotten past stage one.
No. Yeah.
No. No.
I mean, but there is no. I think stage two is always going to be. Stage two is a background, invisible thing. Like, stage two is constantly happening. Like, because people are having their opinions change, their mindsets change. Like, you know, people are.
Stage
learning.
Two is about society.
Yeah, and none of that shit's going to be, like, you know, anything you can document on paper. Like, that's all wheels turning in people's heads and, like, people deciding, like, I'm not going to tolerate this anymore. Like, I'm, you know, if nothing else, like, that is a first step. And I don't know. I definitely feel like as shitty as the world seems to keep getting, at least everybody's becoming more aware of it. We're not burying our heads in the sand.
True. Okay, well, I don't want to get all, like, super sad and bummed out, so...
Oh, was that sad?
No, it was real. It was very real life. And so, like, let's go back to fantasy for a minute. Okay. Let's get specific about some of the actual content that came out last year. So I'm not going to ask about, like, the best new series of 2014, blah, but I'm curious if either of you read something in the past 12 months, and it can be more than one thing. Hell, it can even be, like, not necessarily originally published in 2014, but what had the biggest impact on you? Like, what are you still thinking about months later, or what character or story really stood out as something like, I don't want to forget this. This was really important.
It's something I read fairly recently, the Brian Lee O'Malley's Seconds.
Okay.
Been thinking about that a lot lately. Well, I think it came up again because of finishing Scott McCloud's The Sculptor this week, too. And just sort of, you know, I can't tell you why, other than it's the personal sort of tropes that speak to me and things that happened in 2014 that are still sticking with me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. It's like, by very nature, highly subjective life stuff that affected what impacted you and what you were reading.
Right. So I'd say it's harder for me to start pinpointing specific works and why, but there are aspects of certain works that this year were a lot heavier for me and stick and kind of glommed onto the bigger issue. Like, it's hard for me to bring up, and it also sound, I don't think it's something a lot of people are going to, but some people might not consider to be the same sort of heaviness, but us losing our first dog this year was a big part of sadness and heavy emotional kind of grief. And that still sticks with me. And the books that kind of were dealing with loss and life and kind of the journey of getting older and dealing with that, those sort of things that get all along with it, are the ones that impacted me the most.
Okay. So much further away from typical superhero stories that we talk about, you know, week in and week out. It was... sticking with you is happening on a more personal level.
I mean, the stuff that sticks with you, I think, in general, at least this is for me, like, superhero or fun books are fun, but fun doesn't necessarily linger, you know? It's the deeper emotional things that stick to your bones. You know, fun is fleeting, but sadness is forever.
Damn.
The Aaron Meyer story.
Just don't put that on my tombstone. Just reverse it.
Chris, how about you?
Sorry, I forgot the question.
Do you even read much for fun anymore?
No, sadly. Like, that's one of my resolutions for 2015 is to read more.
Was there stuff that you heard about last year that you didn't get to yet, but that you're, like, stoked about?
Oh, there's so much I'm stoked. Like, I still haven't read Saga. Like,
At all.
I read the first...
Oh, you should. It's good.
I know. I read the first issue back when it came out, and then...
Like, 7 years ago.
Yeah. No, I have a huge stack next on the table next to my bed of, like, all the comics, like, that I need to get to.
Did you read anything last year that... that you are still thinking about?
Yeah, the best thing I read, like, my favorite comic of 2014 is Kinski by Gabriel Hardman.
Mm.
I love that book, too.
That would be one of my picks, too.
Yeah, like, and granted, I didn't read a ton of comics last year, but, like, I made sure to sit down and read that, and, like, that was awesome. That was, like... Yeah, and that was everything I wanted, story-wise, like, art-wise, production-wise. Like, it was just, like...
And for me, the story, especially at the time it was coming out,
yeah.
You know, like, it's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, that sort of the transitional life
yeah.
story, you know, dealing with like an sort of objectification versus emotional, you know, emotional growth or emotional acceptance, you know, so much of that book.
Yeah, like it's what I want to see more of in comics is more character stuff, like more quiet. I mean, and you know, Lord knows, like I write a lot of fucking like loud comics with action shit in it.
Yes, you do.
But I mean, I try to also like, you know, have some, I don't know, some sort of like quiet background running through it.
You're like the Michael Bay of comics. Like all he, when he sits down to watch, you know,
to you. Is the worst thing anyone's ever said to me.
Yeah, Aaron, that was harsh.
That's my job role. 2015, harsher than ever.
Oh, I see how it is. All right.
But when Michael, wait, are you implying that when Michael Bay sits down to watch movies, he picks like the indie shit?
Yeah, he only watched like French, no, like introspective, like 4 hour long, you know, just long shots, so quiet, you know, blink, like just. It's just a documentary of somebody blinking for 2.5 hours.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think you're just kind of a jerk for saying that. There's no way to spin that in a positive. Forget
this one, Aaron. Like, I put your name in High Crimes too. Like I could take that shit right out.
Oh, did you? You fulfilled that? Then we can edit this part out. You know, nothing's set in stone.
No, it's been said. It's in the air. It's in the air.
Some things can't be unsaid.
I think that now you have to be somebody who dies. I think that's the next step, is that you have to be a character who's, like, very gruesomely dismembered in a future, coming soon, in a future Christopher Sabella-written book. Aaron Myers, dead. Dead, dead, dead.
As long as it's in the Sabella way, the Michael Bay way, I'm blown apart into smithereens in a huge explosion, slow motion, panning shot.
Let's move on.
Okay, so Aaron, I feel like I make fun of you for this all the time, but you mentioned it, you're wheeling and dealing with comics this year. Uh-huh. It was kind of a work of art, like honestly. I know that you use it as a stress reliever, not to mention the fact that it pays for your comics, but was there anything really surprising on that front last year? Like out of nowhere, did a book or series just jump in value in a bizarre way?
Oh, all the time, every week.
Well, okay, so I don't know how to make this not sound sleazy, but since you've already done that for yourself, you are clearly the villain in this podcast this week. Okay. What was your greatest success on that front?
Oh, man, there were some big ones. I mean, like recently, Marvel Team Up 95, which had gone, I found 8 copies at the store for $2 a piece. Mm-hmm. And it sold, they all, at the time I put them up, this is the first appearance of Mockingbird. So when she showed up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that book went from $2 on eBay to $75 on eBay.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I found 8 copies, I kept one, sold 7 for $75 a piece.
Damn.
Let's see, I found a Brave and the Bold 25 for $150, sold that for $650. It's the first Suicide Squad.
Okay, you knew I was going to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Was that when the movie announcement came out?
Yes, yeah. So I bought it before the movie announcement because there were rumors. And that was still a lot of money to shell out. And it's come something I keep if it didn't happen. But the price jumped so much on it. It's just, you know, that pays for 2 weeks worth of comics.
$650 pays for 2 weeks of comics?
Or 2.5 weeks, sure, yeah.
Okay, I need to put you in your place, though. Did you ever get, like, completely burned?
No. I haven't lost money. I mean, I'm not trying to brag or anything.
Didn't fuck up with this at all in 2014.
There are plenty of books that I bought that didn't sell. But if you're not dumb about it, you buy them cheap anyway. So you're not, you know, your initial investment isn't, you know, I have a short box full of books that I bought for $1 or $2 a piece that just never jumped in price that, you know, I couldn't sell, but fine, I'll put them on Craigslist for $100 for the box and make back some of that money. You know, it, I would say I got burned not so much in 2014, but maybe the year before when I was trying to figure this stuff out. Gotcha. And was being more the guy buying the books too late, as opposed to being ahead of the curve.
What's your source?
You have to...
The internet.
It is. It's all speculation blogs. There are Facebook groups. It's, you know, looking at what other people might be selling and then jumping on those too. You know, like, I'm convinced there is some comic selling Illuminati that I have not found my way into that inner circle yet, because you'll see these jumps or these sudden like rushes on books and you don't know where they come from. And it's because somebody or some group of people, I swear, it's like stock manipulation. You know, they start buying things up and they float out rumors there that some character is going to show up something somewhere, and then everyone starts frenzying for him. So I haven't found my way into that, but I still am successful enough to turn a profit. And yeah, I buy, you know, I drop $120 on new comics at least every week, and I have to turn that much in profit in selling old comics.
For the record, I just want everybody to know that I still find this absolutely disgusting, and no part of it is appealing to me.
No. I'm not forcing anyone to buy comics. It's all collectors,
no.
Too.
Not yet.
If I can find a way to force people to buy comics, yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Once you get enough money, then your governor-like empire.
Right, I can start going to people's houses and saying, like, for protection money, like, it's in your best interest to buy these comics.
Yeah.
Otherwise, maybe your car gets lit on fire.
Sure.
Well, sure. I mean, yeah, if I can get there, that's great.
That's your supervillain power. I
just want to make sure you're into that.
And also, to just to clarify, too, like, the books that I sell, I only sell if I have a copy for my personal collection, too.
Which is up to what these days?
I mean, I don't know. 35,000, I think. Comics?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, it's time-consuming. It's part of the hobby. It's not like... I mean, if you really factor out the amount of hours spent, like, collecting and, you know, selling and...
Do you factor that out?
No, because it's a ridiculous amount of time that if I didn't have such a flexible work schedule, it would be an impossible task.
Okay.
So I feel I can sleep just fine at night. Thank you very much.
So soundly that if, you know, somebody sneaks in and...
Well, no, not that soundly.
Not going to go there.
No, but I will say the only book I'm selling currently that I don't have a copy of already in my collection now is my Walking Dead number one. I decided to sell it.
For what, $2,500 or something like that?
$2,200. If someone wants to buy it, I'm just putting it out there. I can advertise on our own show.
It's a little unseemlier.
Well, you know.
Chris, have you ever read The Walking Dead?
Yeah.
Do you read it currently, or would you be reading it currently if you weren't writing, like, 100 books yourself?
I'm a little burned out on zombie stuff right now. I've kind of hit my glut. So, like, the last zombie thing I really engaged in was this book called Fiend. And it's all about a meth addict.
Okay.
And it's because he's doing meth that he doesn't get infected by the zombie virus.
Is it prose?
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds fascinating.
Yeah, so it's like him, it's like Aaron Paul in Breaking Bad, like running around in the apocalypse, like trying to get more meth because he doesn't want to turn into a zombie.
There's a lot of mixed messages in that.
Yeah, but it was really, really good, like, but yeah, I'm just like, I don't know, I've kind of hit my zombie peak.
I wonder if society has hit the zombie peak. I can't tell.
I think so.
I don't know.
What's next?
I don't know. Invisible people. I think it's time for them to make a comeback.
Sure. Or maybe they were here all along.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing really left. Like,
pirates.
That's not horror.
Wait, I didn't know that we were specifically talking about horror.
I think we are. We're talking about monsters. Like zombies are the current monster of choice.
Vampires were before. And werewolves.
Yeah. Like blobs, that would be awesome if like society just became obsessed with blobs. Like
yeah, for a time it was.
For a very brief time.
No. Maybe that speaks more to blobs and their limited engagement.
I'm talking like, you know, when you open up and see what games are for free on your iPhone, like, like 18 games about fighting blobs.
Blobs don't have a lot of, like, interpersonal interaction opportunity. I feel like you can't have a shit-talking blob.
There's no shit-talking zombies. Like,
yeah, there are some. I mean, maybe they're not talking, but there are certainly zombies with attitude.
They're sassy. Sassy zombies.
Sassy zombies. Maybe that's the last zombie peak before zombies fizzle out, is we'll have the sassy zombies. And then the blobs can reach their heyday.
All right. Well, we'll get to work on this.
Okay. So let's go back to the people part for a bit. Because we all did cons and stuff, like I mentioned, that, like, the people part is super rad. And, Chris, your experience with this is obviously very different from Aaron's and myself. But it still, like, I've seen you have your honest fanboy moments, sure. Blah, blah, authenticity and the like. This is becoming a more visible part of comics. The cons, the meetups. So, both of you, talk to me about who you met in 2014. That was a real big highlight. It doesn't have to be a creator. It can just be, like, me, for example. Since I met you in person for the first time in January 2014, Aaron, no big deal.
Yeah, that's the problem, though. Like, by January isn't even part of the same year as December, when you really start, you know? It's like, last January feels so far long away.
That's the point, dude. It was a year ago.
Oh, well, yeah, but a year with two little kids is... Time is so differently compressed.
Fair enough.
Like, people, I was, yeah, the cons this year were, there were really, they were great. I mean, I met from newer creators to older creators. Like, I think I'm most stoked to meet older guys from, like, who worked more, like, in the 70s. Somebody like, say, mm-hmm. like, a Paul Galassi or, like, Steve Rude, you know, they were both at Rose City Comic Con. Who are not as accessible as, like, a Chris Sabella or a Josh Williamson or something like that. You know, those guys are everywhere.
I hear Chris Sabella comes to your house sometime.
He does. You call him up, he'll come to your house. That's how accessible he is.
Awesome. That guy's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm not disagreeing with any of it.
But that's... It's almost like... It's not... It's not, like, taken for granted, but I think the perspective, and Chris probably agrees with this a little bit, of, you know, like Mike Allred is super accessible in because he lives in Eugene here. Like, I see him at the local store on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
To most people in the country, getting to meet Mike Allred is, like, a big deal, you know? So it's all a matter of, like, perspective and accessibility. Like, even, like, Bendis, who is basically all over Portland, you know, you turn on one street, there's Bendis, you turn on another street, there's Bendis somehow. So, you know, the area that we live in is flush with comic book creators.
How about non-creators? Did you meet anybody that you were excited to talk to socially? Like grown-ups interact with one another off of the internet?
Yeah, well, I'd say I think from friends from Twitter that started out as people you just exchange 140 character, messages with, to people you actually meet at conventions, and now, like, you know, people that she'll come by the house and we'll go comic book shopping or, you know, hang out or send presents to it, you know, at certain times or whatever. Like, I guess that's what friendship is, right?
I was hoping you were going to come to that conclusion. I was waiting for you to make that leap.
I was, you know, I was researching it online, and that's what it looks like that kind of stuff is called. So I would go ahead and, yep.
Yep, friendship.
Yep, so, yes, it's an interesting digital age that we live in.
Chris, how about you?
I'm trying to think.
Turn it around if you want to talk about your con experience as a creator with people coming to you, because that was kind of awesome to see happen with you and Ibrahim this year.
Yeah, I still feel like we're not really there yet. Like, the first time I actually really experienced that was, it was my last con of the year at Jet City comic show in Tacoma, Washington. It's a one-day show, and it's right in downtown Tacoma, which, like, when you get there, it's full of beautiful buildings, but there's nobody on the streets. Like, it looks like a town that's been raptured.
a really good town that's been raptured.
Yes. It's a very lovely town, but yeah, like, I don't know where the people live. But then, like, I had, like, the best day at a show I think I've ever had. Like, I had multiple people coming to my table. That was the first time I was really like, oh, like, I feel like I've leveled up a little bit. Cons are still by and large like uncomfortable experiences for me because I always take them way too personally.
The amount, like, having enough people coming up to you, or
yeah, just like I make this mistake of I conflate like how I do at a show with how I am doing in comics.
Oh.
Which is deadly thinking.
Well, I think also extra hard for a writer, right?
Well, yeah. There's that. But I've always, I'm trying to get better about it. But for the last, like, I think it happened at Heroes. I know it happened at the last Emerald City. Like, I get this one day where I just, like, I'm just like, everything's horrible. Like I'm deluding myself. Like, nobody gives a shit about me, blah, blah, blah. And I just, like, fall down a sadness hole.
Do you think that's more apt to happen at, like, a huge convention where even though you have a ton of people, it's just so, it's so saturated with both creators and people that, like, you know, unless you have some creative team that people are dying to see or are so inaccessible normally that, you know, they have a line around the corner.
Right.
You know, it's, you're going to have a very small trickle of people coming up to you.
Yeah, I think. I don't know.
But you're still going to do them this coming year, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to branch out and do some shows I've never done before. But, like, so I'm doing the O City Comic Con.
The one in Omaha?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I think I'm doing C2E2. I have to send them a check. So I should probably do that first, but
you'll be at Emerald City again, right?
I'll be at Emerald City, Heroes,
Rose City.
Yeah. And I want to do like Baltimore.
Hmm.
So I still haven't done New York Comic Con, but, I don't know. I feel like I never want to do that show.
What about San Diego?
God willing, I don't have to do it this year.
Are you done with it now?
I've been done with it since the first year I went to that show.
Hmm.
There's no way to be with it, like, unless you just, it's so horrible. Like,
is that the worst of, like, that experience then that you were describing?
Oh, no, because, like, the great thing about San Diego Comic-Con is nobody matters. Like, you're all just you're all just cattle. Like, none of you matter at all. So you're just in a sea of people who don't matter. You don't matter. Like, there's nowhere to sit. There's no potable drinking water. You're just treated like dirt unless you're a VIP. So it's just one big mass of,
nerd humanity.
I'd use the term humanity sparingly with some of those people, but
see, for me, from the fanboy perspective, I like a small, semi unsuccessful con.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
No, because then I have access to anyone at any time. People are more than happy to talk to me.
Right, and then next year, sorry, we can't do it. We were unsuccessful.
Well, sure, it's a one-off, you know.
We're just getting burned in the world.
But since you're an asshole, it's fine, because you can be selfish for that experience.
Look, I want one super great experience with a creator, and then it's like, It's like getting to sleep with a beautiful woman. One night, have a perfect experience. You can't ruin it again then if you never see him again.
Wow. That just says so much about you, Aaron.
Very romantic.
It is. I thought it was beautiful. That's what I tell every creator when I'm done talking to them. I'm glad we had this. I'll always remember you. And I hand them a rose.
I still haven't gotten one.
Yeah, maybe you just weren't, you know.
But you didn't perform. Guys, you still talk. So, like, I don't know. Is that
the door is still open. Yeah.
Right.
Some people I break the rule for. They're so good, I break the rule.
Okay, so looking ahead to this year, to 2015, Chris, what does this year bring for you? And be specific. Like, let us know what's on the horizon that you've been working on. Pitch yourself and tell us what to look for.
Okay. We're wrapping up High Crimes.
Yay.
Like, I'm actually working on the last script today. So, let's see.
So when is the hardcover out?
July 8th.
Okay.
2015. Let's see. I've still got Dead Letters going with Chris Visions at Boom.
Yep.
So let's see what else.
And you have that's planned for 3 arcs? Is that what you have it planned for?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. I'm done writing Ghost. I'm done writing AVP. I still got Escape from New York. I'm at least on that for the first 3 arcs.
Oh, cool.
Let's see. I've got a book coming out from Skybound. That's a work for hire, gig that I've been working on for like the last 2 years. So.
Is it a monthly or a graphic novel?
It's a mini.
Okay.
It's a 6-issue series.
Hmm.
And then I have another thing with Skybound that I'm doing as it's a sort of a writer's room thing with 2 other writers.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Do you like doing the collaborative stuff, like what you guys did with AVP?
Yeah. You know, there's drawbacks to it, but I'm learning how to make it work for me. Getting used to the whole AVP model was super hard for me, because it's just me alone. Suddenly it's like, oh, like now I have to like fight to be heard and like, I don't know, feeling insecure amongst people who are, you know, much, much more well-regarded than myself.
But that's gotta have changed in this last couple of years, right?
Definitely this last year has helped.
Eisner nominated writer Chris Sabella. I didn't say that at the beginning, but like, dude, remember that?
No, I know. Like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
And can I, here's my question actually, from going from now to being like that full-time writer, mm-hmm. like, and having people, you know, close friends of yours now, you know, in the industry with you. I mean, even from us in this last year and a half of doing the podcast, I was super nervous to talk to people like that, you know, are writers. And now it's like, well, everyone's kind of a person, and let's, you know, so in a good and bad way, the magic of the writer, the man behind, you know, pay no attention to the man behind, you know, the curtain kind of thing. Like there's something wonderful about the humanity of everyone, and it kind of takes away a little bit of the magic, but I think it's nice to have the relaxation of understanding that everyone's just everyone. And I think you could either be a creative person who creates or a creative person who enjoys the creation or both.
Yeah. I definitely. I'm not as freaked out as I used to be when I meet, I met Richard Case at Heroes this mm-hmm. summer. Or the last summer now. And like that, I was super nervous, like meeting him, just cause like Doom Patrol is like one of like my seminal books.
Oh really?
Yeah. Like him and Grant Morrison's run on Doom Patrol, like is easily in my like top three of all time. And I was like, oh shit, Richard Case is here. Like, and I just like, and I showed him my Doom Patrol tattoo, like, you know, like, like total nerd. And he was just like, oh, well, that's great. Like, well, I'll be back here next year if you want to bring your books for me to sign. So I'm totally going to do that. Like, I'm going to have all my bagged and boarded Doom Patrols shipped to Charlotte so I can get Richard Case to sign all of them.
Good. That's awesome. See, I think it's important to keep the fanboy aspect of it, too.
Yeah, and there's still, I mean, like, going to the Eisners was, like, mind-blowing. Like, you know, you're fucking, like, you're sitting in a room where, I don't know, just, like, you know, legends are, like, sitting all around you. Like,
mm-hmm.
And you're being, like, nobody's asking you to leave. Nobody's asking you to fill up their glass.
Right.
Like, that was surreal to me. So, yeah, it's definitely gotten easier to sort of... not lose my shit, but you know, everybody has those couple few that, like, if you met them, like, all the rules are out the window.
Sure. Yeah. I think you need that too. Like, we all need heroes.
Yeah.
And maybe in a way we shouldn't meet them in some cases.
Oh, I strictly support never meeting your heroes.
But I think what, Andrea, I would say where it broke for me, where that changed in 2014 is when we were at Image Expo.
Yeah, that was a year ago.
Right, but that was in 2014. That was still counts. And where that big shift was being thrown into a bathroom to do an interview with James Robinson. And then I'm like, yeah, comics are just weird. And everyone is just a person. It's like, that's just one of those moments where you're like, okay. Or,
yeah, Nick Spencer in the stairwell, James right. Robinson in the bathroom. It sounds like, I don't know, a really twisted game of Clue.
Or just all standing around in a hallway with, like, Rick Remender standing there and Kirkman around the corner and everyone just kind of not knowing what's going on and everyone being confused. And just then you go like, oh, yeah, hey, wait, we're all just people and kind of doofuses. And that's cool. Then there's no pressure.
So, Aaron, what are you looking forward to? Then we're going to solve the problems of the industry in a couple minutes, but just tell me quickly what you're excited about with 2015.
I am excited about the same things that I was excited about 2014, but I'm making personal resolutions to streamline what I'm enjoying every week and to try to feel less personal pressure. External pressure on what, you know, the fantasies and escapisms that I want to get into.
Okay. So those were very personal. I wasn't expecting that. I thought you were going to, I don't know, give me like your top three from previews or something that you're stoked about.
No, because you know what? There's amazing things coming out every month. There is a glut of amazing comics going to be coming out every month. And it's just a matter of finding the time to enjoy them and actually enjoying them. Like, if you try to enjoy everything, I think I'm finding you don't enjoy everything as much as you should.
Right. Yeah, I came to that conclusion a while ago. I didn't even try to keep up with you. And it's nice to know that, like, slowly and surely, you're coming around to seeing that I was right all along.
Well, it's not that you're right. It's just that I haven't figured out a way to double the amount of time.
So I was right.
I mean, just because of technical, you know, like technological limitations that I currently have.
I'll take that.
Okay.
Okay, boys, what can we all do to make comics better this year? Like, not just the books themselves, because we obviously have very limited control over that, but the experience, the people. That's been the theme from the very beginning. The good and the bad, it dominated the conversations on and offline, and obviously our experiences were very much people driven. So how can we do better in 2015?
I don't know. I think I do a pretty good job.
Cut the bullshit, Aaron. I want a real answer.
To do better for comics?
Well, if we do better for comics, we're doing better for ourselves, right?
Sure. What is the job of, okay, I guess my question is, what's my job in terms of comics?
That's a good question.
Okay, so without an answer?
Well, I have opinions on it. I think you have opinions on it.
I think my job... Okay, go ahead.
What?
What can Aaron do to do better for comics? What can we all do to make comics better this year?
I just, like, don't be assholes.
I mean, I can only promise so much of that.
Yeah, I know it's hard for you, but for the rest of us, yeah, I just feel like, you know, stop being dicks to people.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a slow process. Like, we're not going to fix comics next year. Comics will still be slightly broken. I mean, everything's broken. There is no perfect system. So, but I feel like, yeah, we're slowly making advances to that, you know, that golden city on the hill.
Continuing the conversations about the problems. So that,
yeah, maybe, like, you know, call out assholes. Like, don't, you know, vote with your fucking wallet. You know, Twitter is a great fucking platform to, like, actually harangue companies who are in charge of this shit. And if you don't like something, you know, use your fucking voice. I don't know. It's now more than ever, it's easier to have voice your complaint and have it, if not, you know, amended, at least heard. And supported by other people.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, everybody just has to find, you have to find your communities, and build those fuckers up. So I think that's the power moving forward, is like-minded people putting their heads towards something.
Mm-hmm. Here's something I'll mull over for 2015. I don't plan to change my, like, Twitter presence of positivity, and not really, and in terms of criticism, you know, there's, I think that was a big debate of 2014, of comics criticism, and is there any, and, you know, I guess that would be a goal for 2015, is not for negativity, but for actual insightful criticism, without fear of reprisal or backlash from the community.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the difference being, you can't shit on a book and call it criticism. You can write a well thought out review that, you know, brings up an honest opinion and analysis of a book and call that criticism, which there's very little of.
Yeah. I would like to see more people embracing their subjectivity, because that's really what makes things interesting. If I have some insight into your perspective, like, why is your context so important with the way that you're interpreting the book? I have no idea if I don't have access to that context.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I would much rather have, like, a little taste of where you're coming from, and therefore why. Well, just going back to, like, Kinski, for both of you, why was that book so important? Why did it resonate with you? I'm hearing the personal side, and that's why I then want to read it. I mean, I did, but, like, just for the point of argument, that's way more impactful for me as a fellow reader than a review or criticism that is trying to be and failing because nobody actually is 100% objective. I think that there's a place for that, for sharing our responses to books, but by giving that context as to, like, why our response is what it is. That's not shitting on a book. That's commentary with context, and I think that's super important.
Yes, yeah.
Aaron, you are, to be very honest right now, you are really good about sharing the things that you like on the internet. That's why people, like, are drawn to you. That's not something that I think anybody's saying needs to go away. Like, yeah, you're an asshole, but, like, it's a kind of lovable thing. It's a shtick. You do that, and we get it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what Chris was talking about in terms of community, having people who are willing to, like, embrace new readers, or people coming up and saying, hey, I liked this, so do you think I would like this or this? And having those suggestions be presented in a, like, non-judgy way, in a welcoming fashion, man, a little bit of that can go a long way towards repairing some of the, like, underlying tension in the comics community right now. just because you're right. Like, it's about people, and it's about those people interactions. At the end of the day, we're all just reading these books and talking about them with one another, so we might as well have fun while we're doing it.
I agree.
Yay, comics.
Wholeheartedly.
Anything else, guys? I feel like 2014 is a good foundation for us to, like, build upon, but mostly it sucked. And now 2015 can be spectacular.
I don't know if it sucked, but I am looking forward to a wonderful new year.
I also.
Yay! Right on.
Okay.
Thanks, gentlemen. Okay, you can catch some of the show notes. They're going to be brief this week on our website, comicstherapy.com. And information about past shows and anything else that we have going on is also there. We'll be back with our regularly scheduled programming in the coming weeks. Happy New Year, everybody. Yay, comics. Don't forget to subscribe to your favorite books from your local comic shop or get them digitally, and we will see you next week.
Bye. See you next week.
Teach me to number my days and count every moment before it slips away, taking all the colors before they fade to gray. I don't wanna miss even just a second. In a blink, it happens in a flash, it happens in the time it took.